I also wanted to say, if Justin probably didn't say, and maybe did you announce, because I was back in the back, Christmas Eve service? There is a Christmas Eve service from 5 to 6, just 1 hour, for real. Just come from 5 to 6 Christmas Eve, candlelit service. We're going to do a communion, have candlelit, and there'll be some cookies, and there's going to be a drama, a youth drama slash whoever wants to help us drama. And so we are actually, if you get recruited today, it's good. We need at least 3 to 5 more people, but it's really powerful. It's going to be a great, great time. I love Christmas Eve service because it's just, it's short, but it's just cool because it's Christmas. And it's just some of the nicest memories of TLC. And we're about 20 years old. Do you know that? I mean, we've been in this location, be what, 7 years this July, maybe? So we bought this place, you know, 6.5 years ago or whatever. Crazy how God just does what he does. And so Christmas Eve, we want to pack this place out, and we'll put out the other wings and all that. So, I mean, I hope that you can invite as many people as you can. That drama will also be presented. That drama will be done. We're going to do the drama on the 22nd of December as well. So that is that will be a full service on that day. It's just that good, really. And the students that were here for practice, we are going to practice on Mondays and Thursdays, just an hour. There's going to be a couple times that we won't. And then the Saturday before the Sunday, we'll have like a two-hour practice to go over everything, dress rehearsal, all of that. I'll feed you, probably be pizza. You know, won't cost you anything. So if you're like, I could do that, or, you know. So we'll be here to do that, but it's going to be a great time. And I hope that you will join us on one of those services, because we believe you're created, you know, on purpose for a purpose. Are you ready to get into the message? I'm excited about this because I feel the Lord gave this to me, and I like Justin sent me a. Did we use the thing you sent me? Yeah, I just like that. I mean, I know it's, you know, it's that way because it's, you know, driven by God. But how about somebody that's driven by God? Come on, I mean, some person that is just backed up and just full of and just is all out and full bore and those kind of. Could we have people in this place like that? I believe we do. And some of us are thinking, well, it can't be me because I've made too many mistakes. I've got a past. Everybody in here, y'all, has got a past. I mean, we all are sinners saved by grace. It's not that. Jesus already died for all your past and your present and your future. But it's submitting to that and understanding and then walking in that rest of saying, you know what, that knowledge, I'm telling you what, I cannot outdo Jesus. Who could? We're not trying to. We're just trying to be who he wants us to be. And we need people that are driven by God. So this is titled, One Driven by God. It's not a secret to say this. The enemy is into isolation. If he can get you off here and he can murmur in your ear. And God is into insulation. God wants you fully insulated so the stuff from outside can't get inside. Because you're full. You got God, so much God in you, you don't even pay attention to the stuff that's not God. That's what he wants. He wants somebody driven by him. Somebody that says, you know what, give me more. God, let me have. And here's the key. We already got, I mean, we're, oh God, I need more power. You have all the power you need. What we have to do is exercise what we have. It's better to use something you got than try to get something you don't have. Amen? You've already got it, but our religious way of living has taught us that we don't have it. We got to do these many things, and we have to do everything right. I screwed up yesterday, so God doesn't love me as much, or this. You got to get, that's works, my friend, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about relationship with Christ. He's not going back to the cross. He died once and for all for everyone. But we have to exercise that. We have to be driven by God. I don't want to be isolated. I want to be insulated. In other words, I want so much of God in me that it just, I can't be tipped over that easy. Remember when I grew up, there was, how many remember this? Weebles wobble. You might say to yourself, I might wobble, but I ain't going down. I want to have that Rocky Balboa. Absolutely. You know, I ain't going down no more. I want to have that kind of an attitude. I want to be driven by God. You have the identical same spirit as Jesus. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. You and I have the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead. You have that spirit. When Jesus talked to Lazarus, that same spirit in him is in you, identical. But we're not taught that. We're just taught that we got to just kind of limp along and, oh, I just can't wait till Jesus comes. Well, sure, we want Jesus to come, but who wants to live life like that? I want to live life full, and I want to enjoy it. The enemy would tell you that you're not important. You have no worth. You don't count. Nobody cares about you. Nothing you do or have done or will do is significant. It's not important. You are not important. You don't matter. I'm here to tell you this morning, and you already know it, the enemy is a liar. He's telling you those things because the opposite is true. The price that was paid for you is dear. It is the greatest price of all. Jesus gave his life for you and for me. So we could be driven not by man, not by circumstances, but by God. God wants to drive your life. Let's even the playing field. Can we do that? Let's talk about time. Time is something everybody has, meaning everybody has 24 hours in a day. No more, no less. We all have the same time. Circumstances, situations sometimes determine what we do with that time. Sometimes your day plans you instead of you planning your day. We've all been there. Let me show you what I mean. I have five amazing grandchildren. And I'm assuming the other two may be in the back. But I have two granddaughters back there and one granddaughter sitting right here now. But they're amazing. And I got two grandsons. Arrow's back there, and Asher is somewhere. So most of them, well, all of them are here. Yeah, well, all of them are here. So I have five amazing grandchildren. Anyway, when they all turn a year old, all of them have, except Asher. He's close. He's 10 months. Look at that. See, I remember that. But, you know, at a first birthday party, it's a big party. It's a big thing. The big number one with the helium balloon. The cake for everybody. But then there's the little cake that the kid gets to smash their fingers in or put their face in or whatever they do with it. And everybody goes, 1 year old, I mean, to us, it's like, well, that's always a big deal. But 1 year old, I mean, to us, it's like, well, that's a milestone. But there, it's so much more than just 1 year old. That's why I'm getting to somewhere by being driven by God. Just one driven by God. Let's break it down a bit. Broaden our eyes just a little bit or our minds. It can mean so much more, more impact. 1 year means 365 days. 12 months, 52 weeks, 8,760 hours. 525,600 minutes, 31,536 seconds. Woo! So it's much more than just singular. We say one, but they're 1 year old. But actually, there could be a lot that's inside what we say. So what's driving your life? You have choices, you know. Knowing that you're putting in place what's driving the force of your life. What is pushing you down the road of life? What is making you do what you do? You get to choose those things. Your authority is what gives dominance to the wheel. If I was Carrie Underwood, I would entitle this, Jesus, Take the Wheel. Or I would go, Jesus, Take the Wheel. Never mind. Sorry, Carrie. Do you hear it? That is not right. No, it's not. But because I have the mic, I can do it. So what's driving you? What are you allowing in your life to push you down life's path? What is making you go, okay, here's what I do. I work. I owe. It's off to work I go. So, I mean, is that your driving force? I have to go. I have to make the money. Time to make the donuts. Whatever. And I'm not saying it's not bad. We should work. I'm just saying, what is driving you? Do you know over 70% of people are doing something they don't like for a living just because they have to make ends meet? Wouldn't it be great to do something that you love to do and get paid for it? And say, all right. So what's driving you? Is work driving you? Are other people, you need to do this, you need to do that? I've had people that their mindset is, oh, you couldn't do anything. I worked in the fitness world for years. And so that was fine. To some people, that wasn't a real job because I managed a fitness center and that wasn't a real place. Although those real people came there for real stuff. And they, you know, I had better do my job because they'd get real mad. I want a new program. I want you to show me how to get muscle. Okay, well. Peanut gallery, we're done. No, no, it's all good. So you have choices. Circumstances might dictate. Like I said, sometimes you get up and you go out. Have you ever walked out your car and it won't start? Something happens, so then you're okay. That's what I'm doing this morning. Got to get my car started because I got to go to work. You know, or I need to fix this flat, or I need to do this, or I need to do that. Maybe the enemy is pushing you. You just feel like on every side, it's just like, feel like that angel on one side and the devil on the other. You should do that. I understand. What if God was driving you? What would that be like? It's your choice. It's your life. You all, you and I both, all of us have a free will. We get to choose what drives us. We get to choose the direction we go. We all have the same amount of time. There are some people that capitalize on that. Did you know it makes sense to have God drive your life? Because he never loses. I mean, he never loses. He's always right. He knows the future. He has your best interest in mind. So our first thought this morning, one driven by God knows he will never be alone. The Bible says God never leaves us or forsakes us. I know that if I let God drive my life, I'm never alone. Joshua 1:5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. The next scripture just refers to numbers, you know, strength in numbers. You're not meant to do life alone. We need each other. Ecclesiastes 4:12, the one may be overpowered by another. Two can withstand. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. How many are married here and have children? You protect them. Someone comes after your kids, you're going to deal with that. Because if they face, I mean, I know there's mamas here. You deal with the cubs, you're going to get the bear. She's like, don't mess with my kids. You know, that kind of stuff. I understand that. If you're the dad, I remember in ministry, we went on a place, and Sam's here, so I don't know if he'll remember this, but somebody in the church had put us in a trailer park. We had a trailer that we were borrowing from Tom and Sandy, but they had said they made arrangements for us to be in this mobile home park or trailer park or whatever, and they put us down in the ditch, and it rained. I had to walk to the trailer wading up to my knees in water. And so the person that put us in there took their own liberty and went, and I'm just saying, however they handled it with whoever the owner was not good, because I hadn't talked to him, but he did not like me. And I had never spoken to him. But I remember, you know, he was up on a hill because we were down in the lake. And I walked up, and Sam, who's with us today, was like, he was my son that was attached to my hip. If I went somewhere, he was there. So he came up there with me, and this guy was in my space. You know what it's like when somebody's in your space? He had just gotten ripped by who, this person will remain nameless. and just, you know, and so he's cussing me up, one side down the other. And I'm thinking, he's about to hit me. And I'm thought, and Sam's standing there, and Sam's just looking up at him. I remember taking Sam and pushing him behind me. And then just saying to the man, and I, you know, the Bible says that if you take away, if the logs are taken away, the fire goes out. So I thought, I gotta get this fire out. So I just told him, I said, sir, and I gave him the number of the district office when I was in the Assemblies of God. You can call them. Here's the number. Here's my name. I'm sorry this happened to you. You know, I was being as apologetic as I can. And to make a long story short, nothing happened. He wasn't nice, but he didn't fight me, and which is good. And my son was there, but I put him behind me to protect him just in case. Why? Because I'm his father. I mean, there's been times stuff like that's happened, and he's been like, get him, Dad. That's not helping. But let's just keep going. We protect them. 1 year sounds like it's singular, but if you're driven by God, one is more than that. Jesus, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We are one. Say if you only get one of something. That's not necessarily small. I don't know about you, but I like peanut M&Ms. And they come in a bag or a box. But I like the bag. Anyway, there's more than one in there. But it comes in one bag. So one can mean, hey, give me a bag of peanut M&Ms. I'm getting a lot, but I'm only asking for one bag. If I ask for a pair of shoes, two come in, hopefully. If you only get one, don't go buy shoes there anymore. you get two. But so that's really good. Apartment complex. Could be, hey, that apartment building on such and such street. Could be one building, but it houses many tenants. One church. If it's True Life Church, it has many people and we're growing all the time. So it might be the only True Life Church in town. It'd be the one church that we're talking about, but there are many components of that church. We think one is nothing unless it's zero or a fraction, and that's... But just because something is listed as one doesn't mean it isn't powerful. It doesn't mean it isn't strong. It doesn't mean that. The more numbers behind one, the stronger it is. Let me just say this. Say a noise. I can do this. Now on the count of three, everybody do that. We're going to clap. One, two, three. Hear the difference? Now we're making one clap, but because there are multiple people doing one thing, it's bigger. It's stronger. The power of numbers behind one. That's the driving force. We need to understand nobody can outdo God. He is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, but they are the three in one. So if we get one with Jesus, we have the greatest force that has ever existed. If I say Jesus, all three of, on count of three, everybody say Jesus. One, two, three. Jesus. Again, saying the same thing, one word, but with everybody together. It's amazing. One voice, one word, so much stronger. There's so much power and unity, vision, God, one nation under God. We need somebody driven by God. This nation needs somebody driven by God. The enemy knows that, and he's out to sabotage the body of Christ, and he'll do it one person at a time. That's how he works. He wants to divide. He works in the five-sense realm, all the natural realm, the seeing, the speaking, the hearing, the touching, the taste, all of that. The thought process, he divides that way. Man has kind of followed that. There's so many denominations, and I don't even know. There's this, there's that, and we believe this and this and that. We believe that, and you're right with this, you're wrong with that, and duh, yeah. Ugh. Let's let the Bible snap that line. That's one of the reasons when we started this church, I went independent, non-denominational, because I was tired of religion. I was tired of just politics trying to run everything. I want God to run everything. I want to be driven by God. Let the word of God umpire those issues and give you peace. We talked about that just not long ago when we were talking about hearing God. Let it be your guide and not your feelings. You know, feelings are fickle. Sometimes, if you're married, they are. I love you. When you're first married, newlywed couples, you can spot them anywhere. I love you. Oh, I know I love you. You're the best. Oh, you're so good. When Kim and I first started dating, we sat down across from the table. I don't know if you all do this, but we both grabbed pepper and put it in our ketchup so we could dip our fries in our ketchup. And we looked at each other and went, oh, you you put pepper in your ketchup too? Like that's God going, confirmation. Then you've been married a little while. You're like, honey, can you get the ketchups in the fridge? Get it yourself. No. Let the Bible snap the plumb line. Let the Bible tell you, hey, this is right, this is real, this is good. Even if you don't see it, because you don't have to see it in the Bible to believe it. You just have to believe it, and then you might see it. That's how that works. Our next thought, one driven by God is one with God. Jesus said, and I said it before, he and the Father are one. If you've seen him, you've seen the Father. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And when people see us, should they not see God? Should not the other people in Marion that don't know Jesus, when they meet you or talk to you for any amount of time, see God? I mean, I want to be driven by God. I went into a gas station one time. True story. Went into a gas station. I'm walking through the gas station. All I want is some M&Ms and a Mountain Dew. I know that's probably not of God, but that's what I'm thinking about. I'm just like, ooh, this would be good. Because I probably preached somewhere, is coming back or going there, I don't know. And I'm walking in, and there's people there's like four or five people waiting to get waited on, and there's a cashier. The cashier looks at me, and this is what they scream. I didn't say anything to anybody. God is my witness. All right, all right. And points at me and goes, I'm going to go to church. And everybody goes, Turns around and stares at me, and I said, good. Good for you. That's good. And I'm thinking, what did I do? Did I say anything? I don't know. And they said it again on my way out. I'm going to church. Okay, that's great. You know what that is? That's overflow from being with God. I didn't say anything, but somehow the enemy knows when you've been with God. But here's the deal. You're always with God because you and he are one. Help me, somebody. God will tell you to do some stuff that's not always what you like, because he's God. Most boards or churches need a 2/3 majority vote or whatever. But life doesn't always happen that way, does it? But when you've been on a board and say that doesn't go everything your way, you just have to agree with the mission. You understand? As an overall, I agree with the mission, because there's some things that you're like, let me see how I can do this. You go to a grocery store, you might not agree with everything they sell, but you're going to get groceries there because you need food. There's things that you might not be in agreement with everything, but what is the mission that you can be in agreement with? God, I just want what you want. There'll be times that he might say, don't go there. Okay. I'm good with that. It doesn't matter to me what the majority says. I mean, I've been doing church as a pastor for about 30 years. And I remember Lang when he said, change the name of the church. And I'm like, God, do you understand that's going to cause issues? And do you think he doesn't know that? Because he's God. Is he not omniscient, all-knowing? He didn't correct me. He didn't say anything. He just said the name of the church again. This is what I want you to call it. Okay. And sure enough, it caused issues. And in a month, 60 people left for a name change. We didn't change anything we believe. We didn't change anything we did. We just changed the name. But I told them, just like I'm telling you, I'd have called it the House of Donuts if he'd told me to. Why? Because really it doesn't come down. It wasn't popular opinion. It was just like, this is what he told me to do. If he told me to do it, that's what I'm doing. God is good. And he's looking for somebody driven by him. And do you know something? Unity doesn't always mean you agree on everything. It just means you're together. You're married, right? Some of you? Do you always agree? Is she always right? Don't answer that. He said, wife, you better answer that. Raise your hand when he's talking. He's talking to you. Yes, she's always right, Pastor. But I remember when, Kim, she loved to do cross stitching. And that's one of the things she did. And she was good at it. Of course, I've never known Kim to be not good at anything. So she was good at it. And I just want to do something that I could have in common with her. So yes, these sausage fingers decided they're going to cross stitch. You see, the women are looking going, oh my Lord. And so I picked out a picture, and it was like one of those, you know, back in the day where, you know, have a Coke and a smile kind of picture, really cute barn. I love Christmas and winter scene and a red barn and trees and, you know, so I'm okay. And so she's saying, okay, here's what you want to do. She showed me what to do, and I'm sitting there with her just spending time, and I got clear to here, and I'm like, hey, it's telling me to use this color, but I can't. The spot's already taken. She looks at me, she said, you started in the wrong spot. You have to do it all over. I have never cross-stitched since. That was it. That was my career in cross-stitching. She did the same thing. Because you love football, I want to love something that you love. So we went to the Football Hall of Fame together. And I'm like, see these shoes? Tony Dorsett wore these shoes. 98-yard run from scrimmage, touchdown. Is that cool? That's great, honey. Tony who? Okay. Oh, look at this. Look at this, honey. 63-yard field goal. Tom Dempsey kicked this. He had half a foot. It's right here. That's great. Can we go to lunch now? See, sometimes you don't always agree, or you're not like, oh, that's just not my jive. But we're still in agreement because, listen, not of just who she is, but whose she is. Not just that she is my wife, that's a big deal to me, and to her, I hope so too, but also because she is God's. We have to understand, if we're driven by God, everybody in the world doesn't just sing your tune. We all have a free will. And we were made to depend on God. When we pray, things and situations change jurisdictions. You're like, I just need God to do this. Well, then when you start making it a matter of your prayer, God gets involved. Why? Because he's in you and you're involved in that. Now he's involved in that. So that's how things get into the jurisdiction of the Father. You speak them. Life is in your mouth. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He and the Father are one. He goes on to say that we can do even greater things. That blows me away. I mean, I do believe if I had to walk on water, I could. I've asked Kim how to do it. I said Kim, not him, but that was. But no, I mean, but you could if you needed to. And that's what he said. You could do that. You might think, okay, this is crazy. If this goes viral, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm just saying, if I can do greater things, I can do what he did and greater things. Now, the key of that is being one with the Father, being one with Jesus. John 14, 7 through 14 says, if you'd known me, you would know my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also greater works than these. He will do because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. You ask anything in my name, I will do it. You understand the power of unity? That's why the devil wants to break marriages up, because people are unified. They're together. They're unified. They're looking in the same direction. They want the same things, and the enemy hates that. And we are made in the image of the one. Who is the one? Yes. When you get born again, when you get saved, you are united with God, and your spirit becomes identical to that of. Is that crazy good? That's awesome. And so the enemy goes after unity as long as it opposes God. because that going against God, that's his jam. That's what he does. That's his mojo. He wants to cause chaos. Look around at the world today. It's hard for people to get there's a lot of things I struggle with. Ordering at Starbucks is one of those. Kim has to repeat what I have to. We'll be up there and I'll butcher whatever she's told me to tell them, and I don't know. Why can't you just say small, medium, large? Why has it got to be grande, whatever? Venti. Where's venti make it large? I don't know. But anyway, my personal opinion. But when I was a kid, I grew up on Sunday nights, we could watch The Wonderful World of Disney and Tinkerbell come out, and we watched Marlon Perkins and Wild Kingdom. Anybody remember that? See, all of us that are my age remember that. All the young people are like, who? But it was this guy that he would go off into the wild and show all of these animals, and he'd had some guy named, you know, while I go downstream, Jim will fight the cobra. Whoever Jim was, poor Jim. But he would do all these things. But what I always saw in Wild Kingdom was the animals, the predators, went after three types of people, or three types of, I don't know how to say it, but they went after the old that couldn't keep up once they got their herd running. They went after the young that couldn't keep up. And they went after the sick that couldn't keep up. The enemy does that too. He tries to make you think like the world wants you to think. You've passed your prime. Do you know Moses didn't do anything until he was 80? That's cool. That gives me encouragement. But I'm just saying, the enemy wants to say, you can't do anything. You can't bring anything to the table now. I beg to differ, because if you are a man or woman driven by God, you always have something to bring to the table. Because you have God inside you, and God can use you no matter what stage in life you're at. You see, the opposite of unity is disunity, and so that's what the enemy is after. Did you know it can work for your good if you decide God, or it can work for your bad if you go against him? Again, God never loses. But it kind of, unity is one of those things, it works for bad or good. It kind of makes you understand. See, we kind of in our mind think unity only works for the good guys. Bad guys get unified too, and that's why they can do some damage. But God is greater. So we have to go in with the kingdom of God, and one can put 1,000. Two can put 10,000. Is that not great unity there? But again, what side? Good or evil? The principle still works. Why does it work for bad guys? Because it's a law. They can be unified on the bad side, and things start happening, and we've witnessed it. If you've been alive in America today, you've seen it. It's a law. That's why we say we have responsibility, authority, to take the nation back to where it's supposed to be. That's why prayer is so important. We pray about it, we give it to God. He now can become involved in the answer. We have the keys. The Bible says in Matthew, we have the keys to bind and to loose. We get into agreement with the word of what God says. Jesus said, nothing is impossible for him who believes. That is awesome. There's really nothing more powerful than a man and his mindset with God. The unity even of a marriage or a church is the bride of Christ. Just being unified with the word of God. The word, my friends, the word. That's the most important thing. The enemy wants to divide you by hate, greed, power, fear. He operates so much by fear. Most everything that we deal with is based in fear. Somehow, if you peel that onion back, you're afraid. Insecurity, fear. What are we afraid about? People, you know, look at what's happened. I mean, in my life, I've seen people mowing over people on purpose in vehicles. We've seen, you know, abortion become legal. Now, thank God, in many places, it's not. Bombs left in public places. Shootings at big events. Whites against blacks. Blacks against whites. Steelers against the Browns. Just seeing if you're awake. Don't throw anything. The enemy is trying to get us out of unity by hatred, by fear, just hating someone that just isn't the way you think they should be. But what if I mean, you ever think of John the Baptist? I mean, he had the Dennis the Menace hair thing, but all over. Ate locusts, wild honey. It was kind of crazy. People were like, pfft. But yet God showed up. God did stuff, and people felt threatened. The enemy's base, he does everything out of fear. He wants to separate you from God. Stay in agreement with the Bible. I don't care what you feel. I feel like DC talk. Remember them? Down with the DC talk. Down with the DC talk. Pulling out my big black book. When I need to find a word, that's where I look. Okay. You don't need me to keep going because you'll be like, Sam's out here. Look, Sam, like he is, I don't know, Mom. He hasn't changed. And she's like, no, he has not. But anyway, it is the word of God. It is God's word that gives you life. It is God's word that declares things. Do you believe God's word? That's where your answer is located. That's where your agreement is. So the next thought, one driven by God, is driven by faith and not fear. Fear is of the enemy. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. That's 2 Timothy 1:7. But of love, power, and a sound mind. You don't have to be afraid. Remember 9/11 when all of that, because people in the bad side were in unity and all that stuff happened? I remember where I was watching that plane hit the tower. I remember going into Mallory's bedroom and she said, Daddy, I don't want to go to school today. I remember what that was. And then people were afraid to even go out or let alone fly because the nation was almost at a standstill. That is not of God. The enemy's going to try to make people scared to go to church and worship. COVID, you know, we were, just before COVID hit, we had two services and we had broken 200 a few times. That's awesome. COVID hit, we got down to 30 people. And God still kept the door swinging. And we're growing again. We thank God for that. But you know what? After COVID, we found out how we could survive and stay at home. People can eat Cap'n Crunch in their PJs and still watch church. No offense. I like Cap'n Crunch. But we got to understand, there are times that there's nothing wrong with that. There's times that probably works out. But you know what? The Bible says, did not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You need church. You need to be in the atmosphere of anointing. You need that seeing people there and seeing miracles happen right under your nose. People are, I don't want to go out anywhere because what if somebody does something? That's of the enemy. That's not of God. I mean, I've been on staff in a couple churches, and I was on staff, and he's a nice man, but he's like, oh, we can't go in there. We might catch what they get. I'm like, down with the DC. No, I'm not going to. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are we not supposed to lay hands on the sick and they recover? I just went in and said, I'm going. And I thought, I've lost my job. I walked right past him, went in, prayed for the people. Guess what happened? They got healed. We had some interesting discussions after that. But is that not true? We're not, the standard, listen, the standard isn't set by the devil. The standard isn't set by the world. The standard is set by the word of God. And that is what you have to have. His word is a light unto my feet, a light unto my path. I'll hide his word in my heart. That's what his word is about. I'm going to say the life-giving power, Lazarus! Because if he wouldn't have said Lazarus, I think the whole graveyard would have said, yeah, 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 let's go. But he called him out by name. It is the power of one driven by God. If you look at that account, Jesus says to God, Father, you hear me. You always hear me. I love that. And you have the same connection. When you pray for someone, and Kim and I are going to pray for anybody who needs prayer today. What do I expect? Answers. Healings. Why? Because the same God that worked in Christ is the same God that works in you. God Almighty is the great conductor in heaven, and he's called you to a place like this. Maybe you don't have a church. Well, now you do. If you like this, we're going to give it to you every week. He's called you to True Life Church. He's called you maybe to the city. He's called you to rise up. He's called you to go after the lost. He's called you to help the hurting. He's called you to serve the one true God. He's called you to be driven by Him. No matter what the enemy tries, you are connected with Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You can outthink the enemy. We will not be stopped. We will stand together, and we will stand as one unit as a body of Christ, having many members. We are made by the one manufacturer. And who is that? God Almighty. We may have different skin colors, but our blood is all the same. The blood of Jesus. And that blood came from God. We have a shield, and it comes with that just being in the Word and being part of the family, the covenant of God, the unity of what He brings, the driving force that He puts in you. You are to be His agents here on earth. I've told you this story before, and He wants me to share it again, so I'll make it very quick. I wasn't saved very long, and I was working at Ponderosa. Remember when we had Ponderosa and Marion? Yeah, and I met Kim at Ponderosa. And so, but anyways, they had an all-you-could-eat ribeye sale. Make a long story short, line was out the door. The managers did not thaw enough ribeyes out for that sale, and we were quickly out of them. And it had snowed. It was middle winter, and it had freezing rain, and they had some steaks, and they were frozen, and they were saying, cook these. Well, I don't know if you understand cooking, you probably do, but I was their head, you cook a frozen steak, you'll char it on the outside, and it'll still be jelly on the inside, because it's frozen, and you can't, it's hard to cook anything to order, and it really gives a bad impression, but they're out of steaks. Anyway, so they're trying to get more steaks out of the freezer. And I remember standing there, and there were people, you know, the employees all went out, and they're all standing out, and there's a whole line of probably as many people as in this section are all standing around the freezer. And there's two of the managers, you know, the guys that are in charge, and they're standing there, and one of them's got a lighter, and the other's got a key, but we had freezing rain. They can't get the key in the lock. And the guy's got a lighter, and he's down there, you know, and he's trying to melt the ice, and I remember standing out there because I'm a cook and I'm waiting on these steaks. And I'm like, they're putting steaks in the prime rib oven trying to thaw them out. And I mean, it's a mess. It's a mess. And I remember, now, and this is important. I mean, so people ask, how did that happen? I didn't hear his audible voice, but I heard him inside me say, I want you to go lay hands on the lock and pray for it to open. And I'm like, say what? And he said it again. I could hear him saying it to me. It's just like, people ask, what does it sound like? Sounds like you. Sounds like you're just talking to yourself. You know, like, was that me? Was that God? And he said it to me two or three times. And now again, there's people, and they're all standing around this, and the manager's the one, and he's cussing, and he's like, what are we going to do? Blah, 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 blah. And so I wade through the crowd, and I just walk up to the lock, and I said, in the name of Jesus, open. And I pulled the lock down, and the thing went thunk and opened. And everybody went, like that. And they're like, whoa. And I mean, I was like, oh, wow. I walked back into the restaurant. And before I went, the guy said, oh, that because we used the lighter. And the guy goes, the key, I have the key. We didn't even put the key in. And the guy goes, how'd that happen? The guy, I don't know. I can tell you for the few times after that or a couple of weeks after, people are like, how'd that happen? You know why miracles and stuff like that happen? Us believers should already believe it, shouldn't we? I'm pretty new at that. But the unbelievers are like, something just happened. I want to know how. So they'd come up, they'd just be talking to me, and we'd be talking about something, and then they'd ask me, how'd that open? I'd tell them just what I told you. Just heard God told me to pull on it. He told you. Yeah. He told you. Yeah. What's he sound like? Sounds like me. Oh, so you're God. No. He just told me. I said, I got this impression. I got this thought, just as if I was talking to myself. And I did it. He goes, I don't believe that was God. I said, let me ask you a question. How'd the lock open? I don't want to talk to you anymore. Okay. But we have one Father, one blood. We live in a nation birthed under God. We are one people. The devil wants to divide you. But I'm telling you, we're not going to quit. We're driven by God. God does not hurt people, and then I'm doing that just to teach you a lesson. He doesn't do that. God put this on me just so I'd be sick for a little while and then teach. No, he doesn't. I mean, if you were a good parent, do you do that to your kids? Here, drink this poison. It's probably not going to kill you, but I want you to know you shouldn't drink it anymore. You'd be in jail. Child abuse. God does not do that. That is of the enemy. That is a lie. Well, God's really testing me. You might want to look at how that's happening. Our next thought, one driven by God has courage. I feel like the Cowardly Lion. Courage. Oh, no. Where does courage start? Let it start with you. We might not be able to change what's happening around us, but we can change what's happening in us. When we change what happens in us, we change what comes out of us. And when we change what comes out of us, we change what's happening around us. And the enemy wants to lie to you. You don't matter. You do matter. We may not be able to change Marion all by ourselves, but together we can. If we're driven by God, we can change our city. And the city's where we come from. Some of you come from other places. That's cool. Those that are watching online, welcome. And if you're in another city, that's cool. We need people that are driven by God. So one individual can't change the whole world, but we can change our world. And when we work together, we'll change the world. Nehemiah built the wall in 52 days, record time. Each one focused on their task. This is what you're to do. Do that. They focused. The enemy wants to make you afraid, shrink you back, do nothing, divide you. Just don't do anything. There's people, I don't want to do anything because, you know, that saying, I don't want the other shoe to drop, so I won't do anything. One thing about doing nothing, you get nothing. I'd rather be doing something knowing I'm doing it with my whole heart for God, driven by Him, than doing nothing and just waiting. The modern day church needs to be driven by God. One mind, one accord, be on the same page. Remember back in the Old Testament, the Tower of Babel got disbanded because there was so much unity. It was just nuts. I mean, they could do anything. The church still exists because it's birthed out of God. The Tower of Babel came because it was birthed out of the flesh, out of man. What you do in the flesh, you have to maintain in the flesh. In other words, if it's just you, people just say, you need to really try to get so-and-so or beg so-and-so to come. I don't beg people to come because then I have to go through hoops to get them to stay. Does that make sense? I want you to come because God drove you here. I want you to come because you feel driven by God. Because I'm just a person. I put my pants on just like you, one leg at a time. Psalm 3:3 says, but you, O Lord, are a shield to me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. That shield is amazing. The shield of prayer, the shield of the blood of Jesus, the shield of the hand of the Lord, the shield of protection, praying angels that will just go because you minister. They'll hearken, the Bible says, to the word of the Lord, to the word of God. You don't have to fear. 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, which you'll be able to quench all, not some, not part, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. When you pray, that shield's not just for you. That shield is for those that are in your authority. That shield, mom and dad, are for your children. They're for your house and the things that God has given you. You can have protection. And He is your provision. Your neighbors are watching. Your coworkers are watching. Be the person that is driven by God. If I'm coming down here, you know I'm done, pretty much. All right. No. Sometimes I mean, this school's not even there anymore. Anybody here go to Vernon Elementary? I did. It's gone. There's condos or something there now. But the reason I'm saying that is I remember just in first through fifth grade or kindergarten through fifth grade, you got to go to recess. And we would, as guys, let's play football. All right, let's pick teams. Nobody ever wanted to be the last one left. Have you ever had where you were the last one? Everybody picked everybody. Who wants him? And they're all like, I don't want him. Or, oh, I guess we, come on, you're with me. You know, I hated that. That didn't really happen to me when it came to football or anything, but on some sports it did. I mean, believe it or not, I was on a swim team. That was even before I was into fitness. This was not good in a Speedo back in that day. And I don't think anybody was like, we'll take Free Willy, you're going to be on our side, come on. But sometimes I would think, it doesn't even matter what I do. That's so wrong. It matters what you do. You count. You've heard the story of the little kid that went on the beach one morning and there were starfish everywhere because they'd been washed up, and he picked up one and he threw it back in the water so they'd go back out in the ocean. There's an old fisherman there and said, son, you're never going to get all those. That's not going to matter. And the little boy looked at the old man and said, it'll matter to this one. And he threw it. And it'll matter to this one. You see, the enemy wants to tell you you don't matter, but I'm telling you, you've done more than you even think you have. And God wants to drive you to the place where you're like, you understand, he's my provider. He's my everything. And when you get to that place, the kingdom becomes real. It's not just a book anymore. It's your life. I find my answers in my life. The things I want to know, every answer I need, I find it in that book. I pray in the Spirit, and he downloads that information. Let me challenge you today. Quit speaking out of your mouth, you don't matter. Now, I know I kid, and I'm a goofball sometimes, and like I just said, the Free Willy joke and all that stuff. But, you know, I have to speak to myself. I mean, you know, at this point right now, I'm like, okay, God, I got to do some things. So you know what? I had to start speaking. I had to change some things. So I'm making some changes, and slowly but surely, I can actually button this a little bit now. Before, I couldn't button it. Now, it still might pop off and hit you, but, you know, it's safer. But that doesn't just happen. I have to begin to put my hand and understand that the kingdom is everything. Lord, what do you want me to do? It doesn't have to make sense to me. There's times that he'll say, I want you to sow this. No, you don't. Yes, I do. No, you don't. Don't argue with God. You can't win. And you just do what he says. And then I've put myself out into the kingdom miracle water, and things just, I'm like, oh, wow, that couldn't have happened unless I was obedient. Where are you at today? Have you just lived your life just like, I know it. I mean, I'm an ordinary Joe, but when God, you're extraordinary, and he's called you for such a time as this. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Father, with every head bowed, every eye closed.